All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, I wanted to congratulate you.
Oh, really?
Me? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you reminded me, it's been almost a year since you've had to see me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when the doctor said it would be good for me, I didn't think I'd be able to do it.
When the team at the clinic, the team that they pulled together to handle you.
Yeah, they're like, let's get your life in order.
Well, it takes a village, David.
Oh, man, I can't believe it's been so long. I think 42 weeks. I think it's been
a long run.
It's been 42 episodes at least. So,
well, what's funny is we just missed each other a couple times because you have been in the theater. Like I know, I thought you told me you saw Joel. Did you see Drew? Like you've been in a couple times, and we just missed each other.
Right. Yeah. I mean, by plan, but yeah.
Right. So. Dig this. I have an interesting story to tell you.
Hit me.
We're in Ephrata.
Okay.
All right. And we just reopened. It's exciting news because we got that big new movie, Wonder Woman 1984, that everybody's talking about.
Everyone's talking about it.
Everybody's talking about it. Finally, we can see this on the big screen as it was intended.
Ooh, right? So excited.
I was really nervous about whether or not I was going to be able to handle the volume. So I opened it. I put it on my schedule as the second movie in Ephrata because, you know, we only have two screens. So I put the smaller movie first so that by the time the second movie comes, I'm like, I have a couple extra minutes to get myself situated.
Yeah.
You know, I make sure the popcorn's ready, make sure the nachos are done, make sure the pretzels are baked, you know, the doors are unlocked, all the, you know, stuff that you got to do to be ready. And, you know, if you only get a handful of people at the first show, then there's a little less pressure. It's just how I do it. So anyway, the first show today was Croods at 12:15. I mean, the movie's been out forever, right?
Right.
Didn't it come out? Wasn't it a Thanksgiving movie?
Yeah, that was a Thanksgiving.
Right. And so it currently is January 4th. And so I put Croods in there just because, I don't know, family movie, whatever, maybe whatever. So I put Croods in there and I was upstairs loading keys into the projector when the new main phone rang. And I answered and said, good morning, the new main, may I help you? And this lady said, are you open? Because I'm outside and the doors are locked.
Oh.
This was a half an hour before the show was scheduled to start. So I was like, boy, all right. Well, anyway, I told her I'd be right down. I let her in and she came in with a couple kids. And then while she was here, another family comes walking in. And then another family comes. Then all these kids come walking in. David, I had 18 people show up for Croods at 12:15.
What?
And I thought, oh, my God. Boy, people really are chomping at the bit. They want to get back to the movies. This is really great. Yeah. Yeah. And then I started getting nervous because I was like, ooh, if we got 18 for Croods,
yeah,
that's, you know, Wonder Woman, I hope I have enough candy.
Slam dunk it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to be wild. So as soon as Croods got seated, I sprinted upstairs and quick finished loading the keys, got it situated. It was a little hairy carry because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have 100,000 people. They're probably already lining up around the block, you know, all this, so on and so forth. So you can already tell, anybody who's listening to the story can already tell where this is going. Sure enough, the crowd for Wonder Woman 1984 never materialized. And in fact, nobody materialized. So anytime you think you know something, let this be a lesson. You don't.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, so we had 18 people for Croods and zero for Wonder Woman 1984.
Now, it is lunchtime on a Monday.
Right. So right. here's what I do in Ephrata lately. Until we have good movies and we can justify being open like normal, what I'm doing in Ephrata is I'm opening Ephrata mostly at times when Penn Cinema is closed.
Okay.
Right? So Penn Cinema doesn't open today until 3:30, I think, is the first movie, 3:30 p.m., something like that. So I have matinees in Ephrata. And I'm okay. doing the same thing Tuesday and Wednesday when Lititz is actually completely closed. Then on Thursday, when Lititz is fully open, Effort is closed. And then on Friday and Saturday, I'll just do normal because it's Friday and Saturday. I mean, that's time
showtime.
To make the donuts. Right. Yeah, yeah, it's showtime. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so it is Monday at noon, and I'm not totally surprised, but I was not honestly expecting a big crowd. I kind of told that story just to tell the story, but I figured there'd be a handful.
I mean, you'd think.
You would think.
And we're going to get into Wonder Woman next week when we review it, but I don't know what you've been hearing, but I have not been hearing good things.
I've not been hearing good things either, yeah. And I don't buy any of it.
I reserve the right to make my own call.
Right.
I'm not like passing judgment ahead of time because I still think it looks really cool. So yeah. maybe it's watching it on the small screen.
Well, that's what I'm hanging my hat on. But I did share that theory. I shared that with somebody who, like a friend of mine, and they were kind of like, nah, and they started pointing out some other problems. But I'm gonna reserve the right to come to my own opinion about that. And I, you know, we've discussed this on the show. We don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
When we like a movie, we talk about it, you know, and when you don't like Star Wars, you talk about it.
Now my mom, love her dearly, you know, she's like, one of the things we do together, you know, to bond.
Yeah, yeah.
We watch these superhero movies, right? Because I like
beautiful.
Them. She seems to like them. But for whatever reason, she was like, nah, Holmes, I'm not waiting for you. It's your own fault for giving me your HBO Max login. I'm watching Wonder Woman.
Oh, my God. So she drove down to Delaware so she could watch it in a movie theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a human being.
Like a human being. And then she says to me, she says, I didn't like it. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, I think I'm just done with all these Marvel movie things. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Do not be putting this in the same boat as those Marvel movies. Come on.
It is interesting, though. I think that illustrates, like, people who don't listen to movie podcasts and don't work in movie theaters and aren't big movie fans, like, they do not know the difference between DC and Marvel.
I know. And it drives me insane.
Yeah.
It's like the people who think the new Dune movie is a reboot of, of David Lynch's Dune.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah, that's it's a sticky wicket, as they say across the pond.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Man, you ready to get into some news?
Please.
Because there's not a lot.
Wait, we got interrupted because we got started talking about Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was talking about pre-sales and I was talking about I expected a handful. Now let's switch gears and drive down the street to the multiplex located on Airport Road in Lititz.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now they have many more screens, so therefore they can play all the good content.
Right.
So we're playing Wonder Woman, News of the World, Promising Young Woman, there's another Monster Hunter, and Fatale. Do you remember Fatale or Fatal? We watched a trailer of it, and it's from Lionsgate. It's I don't know how it's supposed to be said, but it's Fatale. So it's like that, and it's like your basic like revenge action. It looks like a cheap movie.
Okay.
You and I watched a trailer, and we did not love it. But I think, if I remember correctly, that I said the movie's coming from Lionsgate, and I actually give it some because it's coming from Lionsgate. Like
okay.
Like they're pretty committed to the theatrical. They make decent movies. What I always say about Lionsgate is they make the movies that regular people want to see.
Right.
They're not like they've never made a Pinkies Out movie in their life. So I like this movie. I like this studio. The reason why I bring this up is because I was in Lititz this morning working on the schedule, and you know, I put all the big movies up, and then I come in, you know, sort of at the last minute and tweak it and adjust it just to make sure Drew has something to do in his free time. You know, what I really like to do is move the movies around a lot. You know,
shuffle it everywhere.
Right, right. So you can, like, get them loaded, and then I can quick put them in a different house. And that's always, like, all kinds of fun. So anyway, I could not help but notice the number one movie in terms of pre-sales in Lititz is, in fact, Wonder Woman 1984.
Okay. Whew.
But I was not sure if Tom Hanks with News of the World or Carey Mulligan with Promising Young Woman would take the number two spot. And I think those two movies will end up competing for the number two spot. But in terms of pre-sales, the number two movie is Fatale.
Wow. Wow.
Just when you think you know a guy.
And Monster Hunter's not on there anywhere, huh?
Monster who?
Exactly. you know what's going to happen? If it's still in theaters in 2 weeks, I'm gonna be like, we need to watch this trash and review it.
I'm absolutely down for that. Okay. And I actually do plan to watch it.
Okay.
I have this weird loyalty to Sony. I don't know. Maybe it's because my rep there was the same guy for 14 years, and we had a really good relationship. And I feel good about Sony, and I want to watch this movie because I want to love it.
Wow.
Even though I know I'm not gonna.
But did you remember Venom or no?
I loved Venom. My favorite part about Venom.
Podcast over.
My favorite part about Venom is how much you hated it.
Clearly.
Wait, did I hate it? I don't think I hated it.
No, I did. Which means everyone I know did, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, hit me with some news.
All right, there's not a lot this week, just to go over what we said last week. That's normal, which is great.
Right.
That's holiday normal for the biz.
Yeah, so, good to be back.
Yeah. So according to Disney's new release schedule, an unspecified Marvel movie is slated for October 7th, 2022, between Captain Marvel 2 and Black Panther 2.
What does that mean?
What that means to me is that there's a character they don't want us to know about yet.
Oh.
Like either A, one of the Disney shows is going to have a character that gets a movie, which would be awesome, or one of the movies will introduce a new character, spinoff or whatever, and then they'll be like, well, that's what we've been secretly working on. Like,
snap.
Here's the Monica Rambeau movie or the Miss Marvel movie or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That could be really cool. Or the Captain Falcon the Captain America played by the Winter Soldier or the Falcon or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. I think that's interesting. I like that there's, because Marvel really spells it out for us, long term. I like that there's a sense of mystery here. So you don't get a lot of that.
Okay.
No? You don't think so? It's 2022.
Oh, No. I totally agree.
It's forever away.
No, I 100% agree. My question, my hesitation is whether or not, I think, like, whether or not, how that feels to me. My hesitation is whether or not I'm happy by that news or whether I'm concerned, like, I don't know. I'm trying not to be greedy, but I feel like Captain Marvel 2 is going to be a sure thing. Black Panther 2 is going to be a sure thing. Like, are they going to roll out some, you know, some movie that's going to be a swing and a miss? But I should just shut up because Marvel, I think we can all agree, Marvel has a decent track record, no?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, come on.
Right. I mean, they have not really missed with anything.
No.
What's the worst Marvel movie they made?
Ooh, that's tough. The worst one is Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
The second worst one is Thor 2.
Ah.
Dark World. But those are all, I mean, the Hulk was the second movie they did.
Yeah.
And you know, we're talking real early on with Thor the Dark World.
And they redeemed themselves with Thor the Third, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we're back to being excited for Thorth.
Yeah, super excited for Thorth. Oh my lord.
Time to wake up, David.
I know. Sorry, turn my alarm off. I'm recording a podcast in my sleep here. Come on. Yeah. I don't know. I think like they've got plenty of time to work on it and release it like as a surprise. Like I don't think it's going to be too crazy. I think that they could really be holding off on something here. Could be Daredevil. You know, could be Fantastic Four. No, they have Fantastic Four set already. But could be Daredevil because apparently he's being introduced in the Spider-Man movie.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, so to immediately contradict myself, yeah, this is good news. This is fun. You know, and also it's, I mean, if you want to look at the most basic thing, this is like the biggest studio committing to, you know, they're still, you know, making these big movies and they're still, you know, the ball keeps rolling.
Right, right. Now, speaking of rolling a ball.
Speaking of the boss.
Yeah. Boss Baby 2 has been pushed back to September 17th. And do you remember when that was supposed to come out?
No.
I don't either. But I do remember that the trailer looked funny, and I'm ashamed to say that. I remember the trailer and being like, ha!
No, I don't think you have anything to be ashamed of, because Boss Baby was awesome, and the trailer for Boss Baby 2 looked awesome, and the fact that they're still pushing movies annoys me to no end. This is the most ridiculous piece of news, like... First of all, it's ridiculous news on its face. And then second of all, what are you going to do in September?
Yeah.
Like, it's September. Like, that's what we refer to in the business as Death Valley. You know, so the kids go back to school. You go to Labor Day weekend. You take a big, deep breath. And you hope you're still in business when Thanksgiving comes.
I mean, Earth, Wind & Fire had a great time in September.
Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, David Mullen.
I did it.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
Oh man, you started talking and I was like,
I got one. Oh my God. All right, now listen, do you remember there was a movie star?
Yeah.
A gentleman caller, if you will. Who we all used to really enjoy. He was a good guy. He made some pretty good movies over the years. He starred in Saving Private Ryan, Apollo 13, Bosom Buddies.
Steve Buscemi?
Castaway. Right? And he had a pretty good career going. And then this summer, if you remember correctly... He had a movie slated for theaters, and he decided to sell out and give it to Apple TV. The movie, of course, was Greyhound, and of course, we're talking about Tom Shithead Hanks.
Is that his official name?
Well, I'm not sure if you knew that, but that's his official middle name.
His given name.
Right, right. And so he has officially – it wasn't enough to sell out the summer – now in China, maybe cover up why his News of the World movie did not shake the world the way he had hoped. He's trying to make himself relevant, and he's trying to sort of cover up for his the completion of his turning to the dark side.
Have you read this quote?
I heard about it, okay. And I will say I don't think he's way off, but I feel like he's being overdramatic because... Well, why don't you read the quote, and then, or would you like me to?
I got you.
You got it. Okay. And then we'll talk about it after, right. But I don't think he's way off. I just think he's being overdramatic, and he's selling out all the smaller studios because he forgets what it's like to be a guy who works for a living.
Okay. This is Tom Hanks speaking to Collider while being interviewed about News of the World. Big event motion pictures are going to rule the day at the cinemas. News of the World might be the last adult film about people saying interesting things that's going to play on a big screen somewhere because of this. In order to guarantee that people show up again, we're going to have the Marvel Universe in all sorts of franchises. Some of those movies are great, and you want to see them with writ large, because watching it at home on your couch might diminish them somehow in their visual punch, or somewhere in their visual punch. But the sea changes that was wrought by COVID-19 have been a slow train coming. After COVID-19, I think there will be an awful lot of movies that will only be streamed, and it will be fine to see them that way because they'll be built and made and constructed for someone's pretty good widescreen TV at home. And there will be other movies that are going to be playing in that window, and people will in fact flock to them in order to see them on the big screen while they have a chance. But without a doubt, we are into the big curve of change. There are a lot of things that I agree. I think that we are in a bit of a big curve of change. I think there is going to be some not coming back for this, and I think the industry is going to change for sure. But I don't think that there's not a home for these things in theatrical space. The big insult that he throws out here is that News of the World might be the last adult movie. I mean, blockbusters aren't for adults?
Right. What? Well, he's got his pinkies out. I mean, that's what he means.
Yeah.
You know, he means us, you know, hoity-toity, fancy people with our uppity, you know, taste in movies. You know, it's going to be... But I totally disagree because it... Okay. All right. The general gist of what he's saying, I actually do agree with, and he's right, but I think you could say it in a different way. What you could say is that thanks to the advent of streaming, there are more opportunities for smaller budget movies that might have to previously have fought and clawed their way into movie theaters. And now they're just going to say, screw it, we're going to show our movie. We're going to show it in like 50 theaters across the country, and it's going to be on streaming. Right. You know, so what you're doing is you're giving the Academy an out, you know, so they get a theatrical release, but it's really a TV movie. But I think where I strongly disagree with him is exactly the point that you made, which is this nonsense about adult movies. And the reason why I agree so strongly is because the so-called adult movies are oftentimes exactly the movies that need to be seen on the big screen. I mean, you take a movie that we watched this summer called On the Rocks, and that was a adult movie where people were saying interesting things. There was not a single superhero in the whole movie, but we watched it anyway.
I'm sorry. And Bill Murray is a superhero. Okay.
Fair enough. Touché, mon frère. But I mean, do you agree with me? I mean, On the Rocks was a beautiful movie to watch in a quiet auditorium with, you know, it was beautiful. I think cinematographers around the country were throwing their drinks at the screen when they heard this Tom Hanks quote, you know, because they want to continue. Of all people, he's absolutely correct. Marvel Universe will continue to dominate the movie business. And when I say Marvel Universe, I don't mean literally, but I mean that type of movie, those big event movies. But there's an artistic community of filmmakers and people involved with the production of movies. For example, Christopher Nolan. I mean, this is a guy who makes thoughtful movies. Yes, he has stuff that blows up, and there's, you know, car chases, and he messes around with time dimensions and stuff like that. But this is a thoughtful, I mean, his movies are thoughtful movies. You know, and to say that there's not going to be a place for movies from Christopher Nolan is actual crap. And I think, I don't know, I just feel like maybe... I feel like there's a chance that Tom Hanks can come back in a month and look at this quote and regret some of the things he said.
Yeah. Or Tom Hanks comes back in the new untitled October 7th, 2020 Marvel movie as the new big bad.
Have you ever heard the expression grumpy young men?
I've heard grumpy old men.
Ah, there you go. That's exactly my point. I feel like Tom Hanks is transitioning from being beloved movie star to being grumpy old man. He's one step away from turning himself into Clint Eastwood. Right? Remember when Clint Eastwood was a regular movie star and a talented director, and then he talked to the empty chair, and then he ended up going completely off the deep end, and now he's just a grumpy old man, right? Yeah. And I feel like Tom Hanks is beginning the transition to, you know, becoming irrelevant and saying stuff like this to try to make himself relevant. Because, by the way, I thought Greyhound sucked, and now I'm not going to watch News of the World.
News of the World just did not look good to me at all.
No. And, you know, if the best way that you can make yourself relevant is by trashing the industry that has made you rich, then you're missing something.
Yeah. I got the grumpy old man thing for sure.
Yeah, the grumpy old man thing for sure. So he's turning into a grumpy old man. But I will say, that last paragraph, he kind of is saying what you and I, and maybe more specifically even me, have been saying all along, which is, it will be fine to see them that way because they'll be built and made and constructed for someone's pretty good widescreen TV at home. What they're essentially saying is, there's going to be, what he is arguing, this, I'm not saying this, he's saying this. What he's arguing is that there's going to be perhaps a generation of filmmakers who are making their movies more and more with TV in mind.
Right. Which you means know. Lower, not lower production values, but different production values.
Right.
Like it'll be colored for your TV.
Right.
Like I don't know if people, and it used to be a lot more of a thing. I think it takes a lot less work now, but when a movie comes to your home on demand or whatever, it goes through another like editing process.
Right.
Where they kind of like color grade it down. And they make it so that it'll work on a TV. I mean, TVs have become more and more advanced, and they have to do less and less for it. But, I mean, back when on video cassette, on VHS, like, it was a huge difference, you know?
Right. So. I will go back to what I've said on the show a million times, but there's a positive here, which is if I take my movie theater hat off, I like to watch TV at home. and what you're telling me, if I want to look at the upside here, is that the quality of the TV that I watch at home is going to continue to get better and better. So, great.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, on this topic, let's move into trailers. Did you get a chance to watch this?
I watched part of it, and then we started the show. Okay. I was watching it when we started.
Okay. This movie fit right in like, I was like, does this need to be in theaters? Maybe Tom Hanks has a point. It's called The Little Things.
Right.
Stars Denzel Washington. Look, now, who's waking up.
Yeah.
Stars Denzel Washington, Robbie Malek, Jared Leto. Beginning of this trailer, I was like, why is Robbie Malek in this? Like, I thought he made better decisions. Like, Denzel Washington, like, I get, like, he just kind of been kind of doing whatever.
Right.
And then Jared Leto showed up. And then by the end of the trailer, I was like, I don't need to see this movie, but if I get the opportunity to see this movie, I'm not going to turn it down.
Right.
Like, This looks interesting. Like, I may forget about it, but if I remember about it, I want to see it.
That's interesting that you would say that, because there's a part of the movie business that we don't talk about a whole lot, although it's super important, which is, and I think it's a big part of why this summer and even the what little of it happened this winter was tough for the movie business, which is, the team that markets the movie, the marketing team, is incredibly important, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about what you just said there. I saw the trailer. I thought it was interesting. I'll watch this movie. And then, I mean, we can roll the tape back. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But you basically said something along the lines of, like, I'll watch this movie if I remember to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Right? So what marketing team, what strategy are they going to employ to make sure that David Moulton remembers this? Because, and I'm not even making fun of you, because it happens to me all the time. And have you ever, like, sat in front of your TV with the clicker and you're like, what was that movie that I wanted to see oh man, it was like a chase thing, I think, and right, but because the marketing team didn't successfully do their job,
right,
we don't remember the movie and therefore we don't see it. But I'm not even trying to throw the marketing team under the bus. What we really saw this year was, because the movies were not looking at $100 million weekend, because the top movies were looking at like a $6 million weekend, or even in some cases the number one movie had a $2 million weekend, you can't have a marketing budget. It's like it's a self-reinforcing, you know, cycle. You can't have a marketing budget on a movie that's going to make a fraction of what it was intended to make, but you're not going to make anything without a marketing budget. It's the same old thing of like, you can't sell without advertising, and you can't afford advertising if you don't sell. It's a brutal, brutal industry to work in. And I mean, my fingers are crossed that the studios understand this. And in the spring, as the opportunity to sell movie tickets begins to open up again, then we can, hopefully they will see the importance of the marketing plan.
You know, one of the things that I'm constantly reminded of, I listen to a podcast called The Weekly Planet, which is another movie podcast. And
yeah,
and they constantly talk about, did a movie make its money? And they said, typically, whatever you hear that a movie cost, double it, because that's how much it costs to do the marketing. It's just,
right,
it's almost exactly the same as how much it costs to make the movie.
Right.
Usually that's what they budget in. So a movie has to make double its money to make it even start to make money back. So,
yeah, I think that's I've heard that before as well, and I think that's a pretty safe rule of thumb.
Yeah. So anyway, the little things, if you think about it, check the trailer out.
If you remember it. Yeah. I want to go back real quick before, sure, we talk about Soul. This is not really news, but it kind of is. So this morning I was putting together my schedule for January, looking ahead to what big movies, you know, I need to make sure that I put on sale soon to meet the incredible demand. I hate that that's funny, but it is. I mean, the only movie in January that's currently scheduled with a wide release is called Marksman. We watched a trailer a few weeks ago.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, David, what are we going to do with one movie?
That's it. I can't even remember what Marksman is about.
It's Liam Neeson, and he's doing what Liam Neeson does.
Oh, yeah, and you didn't want to see it. Like, right. You were like, there's no reason that I'll ever watch that movie. Well, little, right, did you know, a podcast would make you go watch this dumb thing.
So now what I'm going to do when I'm done with the podcast this afternoon, my job is to go through the release schedule, because there are a lot of they get labeled limited releases.
Okay.
So in other words, that means I have to like find them and get them. And, you know, typically if a studio is hunting me down, I probably don't want the movie. You know, but, you know, if I go through the schedule and seek one out, I can usually get it. So that's what I'm going to do this afternoon, is try to find some more content for January.
Wow. Got to get something in there.
I guess.
Monster,
I don't know,
Hunter's not going to carry you forever.
Well, you know, maybe what I'll do is just keep showing crudes.
That's what the people want, clearly.
Clearly, that's what the people want. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I think we're going to bring back The War with Grandpa.
Oh, the big hitter.
I mean, why not? Everybody liked it, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. So this week we reviewed a Pixar movie, Disney's Pixar, called Soul, starring Jamie Foxx and a pretty interesting cast. David Diggs had a really small role in this, but Kayla picked up on that. The movie Soul is an animated movie. I thought what I had heard before this, the general gist that I heard from people who watched it. So we watch this at home, obviously. I watch on Disney Plus, and what I had heard from folks who had seen this was they loved it and it was beautiful. Clearly not a kid's movie. That to me is sort of where I land. I personally loved this movie. I don't see a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old. I watch it with Kayla, who we all know is 19, or maybe she's almost 19. And she was like, it was a little heavy for me. It was a little like, you know, and I think as an adult, and I know that she's an adult, but, you know, when you're sort of out there living your life, I think the more that you're concerned about what your goals and aspirations are, the harder that you are working towards a goal, the more you could maybe relate to this movie. I don't know. I loved it. I thought, and we'll talk about the animation in a minute, which I thought was stunning. What did you think of it?
Oh, I loved it. It's funny because I think someone wrote in, which we'll get to, basically the same thing, but like I watched it with a family. Not mine, I kidnapped one. And I watched it with a family, and it was like the adults liked it. There was like a 14-year-old girl, she enjoyed it. But the boys who were like, I don't know, 10 and 15, bored out of their mind, not interested at all. They were, the one kid was like, how long is this movie? And you know, I think a lot of the jokes were still aimed towards kids, but the subject matter was a little too high. Not that it was bad, because I love this movie, but it was just, the concept was really deep.
Kayla and I were watching the movie, and something happened. We got interrupted. I forget what it was, but we had to pause the movie real quick. And it was shortly after he had, like, gotten back into his body, and it felt like the movie had climaxed to this, like, great finish, this moment, you know, and, like, roll credits. And then because we got interrupted and paused it, I noticed that there were 33 minutes left. And I was like, wait, what are we going to do for 33? Like, wait, what are we going to do for 33 minutes? Like, what, the guy's back, you know, and all is right in the world. And I thought that next level, the final sort of hunt to find that, you know, what's missing is it's not your purpose. It's not your passion. It's not your spark, whatever that was. I felt like that was a brilliant message and a brave, I think a little bit of a gutsy part on part of the filmmakers to sort of make that commitment to go get it and go, you know, sort of make that final push towards the end. What did you think?
I thought that was a good twist. Like I felt that it was a little too dark to end. So I knew that it was going to have a little bit more to, you know, how, cause the, I forget what her name is, but the soul that he was palling around with, she 22, yeah.
Yeah.
She was like upset at him. And I know Pixar wouldn't end a movie necessarily in that way. I mean, I knew from the trailers that he died.
Right.
I didn't know that the body switching thing was gonna happen. That was a nice little surprise. Like, I enjoyed that twist. I think that made the movie really interesting.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was like, you know what I think would make a great twist? Because they kind of talked about how time was not the same in the before life.
Right.
And I thought they kept talking about how he should call that girl. I thought he was going to, when he came back at the end, he was going to call her, and it was going to, like, something was going to happen, and he was going to realize it was 22.
Oh.
Was the soul for the lady that he had a crush on or whatever.
I feel like that would have been too simple. Yeah. That would have been too easy. I like the fact that they did not end up so, you know, quote unquote, together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I feel like that's an interesting, and not that they were trying to make this point, but I feel like, have you ever come, like, had your life sort of cross paths with someone a little bit, even like temporary? Like I know there have been people in my life who I've been incredibly impacted and affected by, who I have no idea where they are right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we were sort of, maybe you worked together, or maybe you just knew each other or whatever, and then your life sort of goes in different directions. But that moment in time where you had that friendship or that connection, that continues to sort of inform who you are, you know, now for the rest of your life. I thought it was amazing. I loved the message of sort of being who you are is enough. You know, I love the message of, like, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but, like, the little things in life are enough, you know,
yeah.
so to speak. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was amazing. And I also, I feel like this is the kind of movie, I liked it enough and there was enough in there. I feel like I want to see it again.
Same. I would totally watch the movie again.
Yeah. 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 I wonder, I might even enjoy it more.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, wow. it just might be one of those movies where the second viewing you, cause I feel like I was so busy watching the story, I may have missed, you know, sort of additional details and whatnot. And, I feel like, and I might just, I don't know, am I supposed to not admit this stuff, but I feel like I want to take my little Apple TV to the theater and watch Soul on the big screen. Like, I'm sorry that everybody can't do that, but I'm going to go do it.
I wonder, though, like, their choice here, if they had a reading on test audiences that it might not target kids very well, and if that's why they chose to go Disney Plus.
Oh, that's a good point.
If they thought, maybe we'll just have a better chance.
That's a really good point. That's interesting. I had not thought of that. Huh. Yeah. That could very well be.
Because I feel that this movie will get better reviews on Disney Plus as something that, like, adults just kind of casually come across. Oh, I like Pixar. I'll watch this movie. As opposed to putting it in the theater as a kid's movie and then having it review bombed as not the greatest kid's movie in the world.
Well, and also from the parents' point of view, from the customer's point of view, if you're watching this movie at home and your kid hates it, you're not really losing anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you were hoping to have everybody amused and accounted for 2 hours. But you know, whatever. But if you take the kids and pay $10 or $13 or $14 each, you know, it's $100 trip and nobody likes it. Now you're irritated.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, it sounds like we're on the same page. We both loved it. And, oh, we should talk real quick. I loved the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I love the jazz soundtrack. And I don't know if you caught the Bob Dylan music that was coming out of the pirate ship in the zone.
Yeah.
I thought the lyrics that they chose to sort of, you know, pull from that song were absolutely perfect for the moment. And I love that a movie this deep and this out there would find Bob Dylan to be the, you know, the one quote to pull out. I dig it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. So you ready to get into these emails?
Ready.
Okay. All right.
Ready.
Ready.
It's like, I'm like half nervous, like ready.
Ready. All right. So I open up my email this week, right?
Yes.
And I'm like, what's this? What's
could it
this?
Be?
And it all of a sudden, be. I'm like,
that's got to be the best pirate I've ever seen.
So it would seem.
Pirate Dave is back.
Pirate, so it would seem. Pirate Dave is back. And actually, I don't know what was more surprising. The fact that he's back and apparently listened to the show and then apparently wrote an email in, that was surprising and great. But also, how did I watch Chef so many times and never pick up on this?
Yeah, this is, I wouldn't have picked up on this either, but I feel like either A, he talked about this before, or someone else said another movie that was exactly the same allegory.
Oh.
But it works perfectly.
So Pirate Dave wrote in and pointed out, it's one of those things where once you point it out, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh my God, how did I not see that? But he said that Chef, which he's a big fan, he said he loved it, blah, blah, blah. But he said it's a huge, massive allegory. That's his grown-up word. He must be friends with Frodo. It's a massive allegory for studio filmmaking versus independent filmmaking. Jon Favreau is the filmmaker, obviously, and you may remember he's the head chef in the movie. He wants to change things up. Dustin Hoffman is the studio, forcing him to repeat the success of Iron Man 1 with more of the same in Iron Man 2. The critic is obviously movie theater critics. Jon Favreau gets angry because the negative reviews from Iron Man 2 were bad, but it was out of his control because he wasn't allowed to make the movie he wanted to make. So leaving the big restaurant to start a food truck is Jon Favreau going off and making Chef. I feel like, isn't it interesting? So that, thank you, Dave, for pointing that out, and I'm embarrassed that I had never noticed that or picked up on that myself. But isn't it interesting that last week you and I talked about this movie, and you even commented, you made like a quip, a little sidebar about how Jon Favreau like got the cast of Iron Man for the movie, right? I mean, we even talked about, you know, we it was in our mental, you know, field of vision that Robert Downey Jr. was there, Scarlett Johansson was there, the director of Iron Man was the main character, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. And yet I did not connect the dots until Dave pointed this out. And I think it's pretty interesting.
You know, what's also crazy is we decided to watch Chef randomly, right?
Right.
And it's now it's trending on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah. It's like they're one of their top, like, 10 or 12 that come up on my list are trending on Netflix.
So are we saying that Netflix listens to the Penn Cinema podcast every week?
Oh my God!
We made it! We're influencers!
We did it! We did it! And Amazon Prime is like, every time I turn it on, like, you know what you should watch? Chef. But not Chef the movie that you just watched. Chef the Indian version. I talked about last time constantly. Oh, yeah.
You know what they always tell me I should watch is Venom. I'm just kidding. They always tell me I should watch The Last Jedi.
Is that a movie? Certainly, because it sounds like trash. All right. So next up on the list, we got another email from another special person. And I was like, I don't know about this one, but you know what?
The Shadow knows.
That's right. The Shadow wrote in.
That's right.
Finally got these sound effects working for us.
I'm so proud of you, David.
I only got two so far, but it's coming.
But it's coming. Yeah. So The Shadow wrote in, and he said he liked Matt Damon is a good action hero in the Bourne movies. And I think he's calling you out a little bit, like, David, why? So do you want to comment on this, David? Why? What do you have against Boston's favorite, Matt Damon?
Why must you hate David?
There's no place for hate on this show.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
Mm. You know what it is? I don't know. I like Matt Damon. I do. I really like Matt Damon a lot. The Martian is a great movie. I just don't like the Bourne movies. And
what's your position on Good Will Hunting?
I don't think I've ever seen Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
You know?
That's unfortunate.
I know. Should I? Do you want me to go? Should I leave? I can.
David. I mean, I feel like we've discussed this before. I mean, Good Will Hunting is one of my top, like.
Let me put it this way. If I've seen Good Will Hunting, it's in passing. It's not like.
Well, if you've seen Good Will Hunting in passing, you have not seen Good Will Hunting.
Exactly. That's why I said right? No.
Yeah.
Okay. I ain't playing the liar here.
I gotcha. You're good.
So I don't hate Matt Damon. I just don't like the Bourne movies. However, I'm still giving another chance. We're watching the second Bourne movie this week. You know, our Bourne monthly thing continues now. The holidays are over. So I'm giving it a shot. I'll make no promises.
All right. No? We also learned a little bit about The Shadow. Apparently he is a musician and he loved soul. He loved the music. And he ended his email with one of my favorite quotes. And then I have a follow-up quote for it. Music is life and life is rhythm.
Yeah. What's your follow-up quote?
Well, my follow-up quote is the same spirit, but Mickey Hart is one of the drummers for Grateful Dead, and he always said, and I feel like this is more than about music. This is a quote that I live by. You ready?
Yeah.
If it's worth playing, it's worth playing loud.
Oh. Well, you know what I always say.
God, what? I don't even want to know. I can't imagine.
Give me the beat, boy, and free my soul. I want to get back to that rock and roll and drift away.
Oh, my God.
I'm famous for saying that.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows about you and your beat.
Yeah. All right, so Frodo wrote in. We love Frodo. I spent like 20 minutes looking for some sort of Frodo intro thing. I couldn't find one.
I thought you were going to say.
Because I was going to go with Aragorn going, for Frodo, but.
I thought when you said of all of these and you were like talking about blah, 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 I thought you were going to say you spent like 20 minutes reading her email.
Well, that too.
I definitely, well, first of all, I should say, I only just read her email this morning because I didn't want to read it before I saw Soul.
Right. Yeah. Actually, the same. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I left it sit and I didn't even open it because I was scared I was going to something. But first of all, her email is amazing. And she definitely gets a trophy for the longest emails. She agreed with our general take on the new Ghibli film. Is it Ghibli or Ghibli?
I've always heard of Ghibli.
Yeah, so she sort of agreed with us. Like we talked last week about Ghibli releasing its first ever computer generated, is that the right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the hand drawn, and we all agree. Like, and she's our resident animation expert, so her opinion counts double. We all agree that if you're so successful with all these incredibly stunning hand drawn movies, why are you now? I don't know. Maybe they're trying to like really build their brand and do more like Pixar. Yes. Anyway, she loved Soul and had all kinds of big words used. My favorite was she liked the characters a lot, and she was pleased, I think, to see a black-led cast predominantly. But there was a word she used that I had to think about. I had to go and reread the sentence. Do you know can you guess which it was?
The?
She said she was talking about things that she liked in the movie.
Okay.
And it was a rather long sentence. And then at the end of the sentence, it said, and it wasn't a cast of flat, reductive, one-dimensional caricatures.
Reductive?
Do you know what reductive means?
You know what? I'm going to let you hit me with this one.
I know this is one of those words. You know what it means. Like somebody uses it in a sentence, you can figure out what it means.
Right.
But it's just not a common word that you would use.
Right, which is why I didn't want to try.
right. And I looked it up and you know, tried to piece it together. And basically what it does is, what it says is, the idea is that it boils you down to, it. In my words, it oversimplifies. Like, okay. Who's that guy? Oh, you know, he's a basketball player, and that's the end of it.
Right, you know? Right.
Or this guy over here is a cook, and that you can't define somebody by one, you know, sort of, like she said, a one-dimensional. But there's also another word she used, which last week or a couple weeks ago, we called her out for making up words, which I dig, and she made up another word, and the word she used here was all interested in thoughts from a random animation fan. Here are some. You said, I'll bet you Frodo already saw it. And yep, here's the quote. Ab a heckin' salutely. Ab heckin' salutely. So I think that's pretty great. I've made up words like that, not always with the word heckin'.
I thought that was a great like not the normal substitution you'd go for, but
right. Yeah. I love it. Anyways, what
I pulled out from her email was because I wanted to see if a Mr. Penn Ketchum knows this right here. She gave us a TLDR.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
No.
It means too long, didn't read. And you put that at the end of something for people who don't want to read everything, and then they can just read what's after that and get the gist of your email. And so she put a TLDR after her biggie thing. She put a TLDR for us, and she said, I thoroughly love the animation and the message about, this is about Soul. It had about passion in life and the fact a movie with a cast full of black people is being promoted. So that was her TLDR for her email. So if you don't want to skim, you just go straight to the TLDR. Too long, didn't read.
That's awesome. You just changed my life because I always send emails and quotes and things that are too long. I ramble on my email the same way I do in life. And now I'm just going to start. And also I can reply to people. Can you just reply that to people?
Yeah, you can reply TLDR, you don't like it. You know, something like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and now I want to get to the email of the week.
Oh boy. Yes.
This is from a one Roland Smoker.
Dun dun dun.
Who had some pretty predominant things to say. Now, did you take his email and did you really get into the nitty gritty there?
TLDR. I don't know. I just felt like saying that. That's when you could say it, right?
did you read his email?
You're gonna have to remind me. I think I did, but I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm pulling it up.
Okay. It was very
specific. My God.
It was for you.
Stop everything. Stop everything. Stop everything and go back to your bases. Go back home. Start over. Cancel this show. Pretend it never happened. It hasn't happened yet. It already happened. It was wonderful when it happened next week.
I'd like to give a round of applause.
So this email that David is about to walk us through is, well, I mean, I didn't count, but it's I'm going to ballpark it. It's about 650 pages long. I clicked print and I used up 3 reams of paper to manage to print. And it appears at first like it's going to be a quote out of Dune because there's all kinds of weird words in there. Characters' names that you can't understand. And there's a woman sitting by the side of the door and may or may not have anything to Dune. There's a gom jabber in the middle of it and hesitation. So I'm scrolling through this because absolutely TLDR. So I'm scrolling through this to try to see what the hell. Boy, by the way, I am so happy that I know now what TLDR means because this is the perfect example. So then I stop scrolling because I see something about what's in the box, pain. And didn't we see this in the opening trailer for Dune? That's when it occurs to me, oh, this is a clip from Dune.
It's the entire first chapter of the book.
It's the entire first chapter of the book. And there goes on this long thing about there's a truth sayer and a truth chance and a Yerk Weinrich headache at the end. And yes, the one who can be many places at once, the quinoa headache. Many men have tried.
Cataract.
Right, the quinoa headache. Many men have tried the drug. So many. But none has succeeded. They tried and failed, all of them? Oh, no, she shook her head. They tried and died.
Man, you don't know the Quizzak Haderach, man. Paul Atreides. I'm telling you, what's in the box? Pain.
Pain.
He's got the Gom Jabbar. If he pulls his hand out, she'll prick him with it, and then he'll die.
Oh, my God.
Because only an animal can't control themselves.
You know what we glossed over?
What's that?
A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about time travel.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah. I think Frodo wrote us in a pretty fascinating take on that, right?
Time travel? Probably. Yeah.
She had some opinions, but I'll try to pull that up for next week because I forget how that got lost in the mix. But she had a really interesting take on the time travel thing. And then Roland writes in this What are you saying? It's a whole chapter?
He literally copied the whole first chapter of the book.
So that's pretty wild that he would take all that time and sit there and type out.
I'm pretty sure it was a copy paste thing. I'm going to be honest. I mean, maybe he typed it out, but dear Lord, if you put that much time into the joke.
All right, here's the thing. If he cut and pasted, then TLDR, I'm not interested. But if he had the commitment
to type it all out,
to have the book like on one side of him and the keyboard on the other, be like type, looking and typing.
You tell me that he did all that work and you didn't even read it?
That's what I'm telling you. You know, I often, you know, have I ever told you my position on like gift giving and storytelling? Like, you should give a gift for the experience of giving it.
Right.
Like, and you tell a story for the experience of telling it. I'm not obligated to, if you like give me a scarf, I'm not obligated to wear it. Right? I mean, the act of giving is the gesture. Is the gesture of love. Right. And if I'm then obligated to wear the scarf, then it's no longer a gift. Now it's a burden. Now it's an obligation.
Right.
I'm not down for that.
All I'm saying, man, is, you know, the dude wants you to read Dune.
I have an update to share with the group.
Okay.
I've now read the first chapter of Dune.
Parts of the first chapter of Dune. I've skimmed the first chapter of Dune.
So, Penn, you read Dune? Yeah, what'd you think? TLDR.
Oh my gosh.
How bad do you hate me? That cracks me up.
All right, let's move into what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing?
All right. I don't know. My life is a whirlwind. I've been watching a lot. I've been watching a lot of junk. I've been watching a lot of shows, whatever. But I do want to report.
Yeah.
The girls and I, Amy, Marley, Kayla, the whole gang, all four of us started watching The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, Steve Carell. This is an incredible show. First of all, it's fascinating. It's well done. So we binged this. Like, we were like, oh, you want to watch this? And we were like, yeah. And then we couldn't stop watching it.
Whoa.
And I thought it was just a regular, like, a show. It turns out the entire first season is basically their take on the Me Too movement and sexual harassment at work and fascinating, you know, I don't, fascinating is the wrong word, but really, really interesting premise and really interesting. Like, I can't watch any morning show, any talk shows now, because all I see is the characters from this show. So anyway, we watched the entire first season of The Morning Show, and I strongly recommend it. It's really good.
Wow. Well, you know, it's on Apple Plus, so literally only you and like three other people watched it.
Right.
So.
Right. What about you? What are you up to?
So I'm continuing down The Expanse. Someone said, that told me this week, because I said that the books were better, that they weren't sure if they should watch the show. No. If you're not going to read the books, watch the show. It's amazing. Get off your butt. Watch The Expanse. It's so good. It's so good. Look, I got a news for CBS All Access, right? Their time has come. Finale of Discovery is this week. And they're getting cut off. No more.
Damn.
No more. I got no time for you, CBS All Access.
You don't just cross David Moulton like that.
Yeah. I'm only here for Star Trek and nothing else. I don't need your CSI shenanigans. All right? And I read a new volume of a series called Die, as in like a singular of the dice. It's really cool. It's if you like fantasy world kind of stuff, it's really cool. Now, here's an interesting one. After we were done recording last week, you know what I did with my time? It was after Christmas, but yeah. I said, no, I'm not done with Christmas. And I turned on, and I had been looking for this. I'd seen it advertised before Christmas, and I kept looking for it. I kept looking for it, and it just wasn't showing up. And it didn't show up until after Christmas, and that was Jingle Jangle, starring Forest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. Forrest okay. Whitaker.
And Key from Key and Peele. And it's a new Christmas musical. And you know what? I enjoyed it. It's not great. I'm not saying it's the next new thing, but I'm saying if you kind of just like made the decision to watch it every year, eventually it would become beloved because you'd just be so used to watching it. But I'm not saying it's like, oh, this is the new beloved thing. I'm saying Right. Give it time. Watch it when you're bored every holiday, and then eventually you'd be like, I can't wait for Jingle Jangle.
Be telling the fam, oh, you guys, it's almost time for Jingle Jangle.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, anyway, that's my time. All right, so next week we're going to do Wonder Woman, 1984. Go see it in the theater if you can, if you're in an area where the theaters are open, which you probably are if you're listening to this. And, yeah. Talk about it next week.
Can't wait.
So, once again for the Penn Center podcast. Oh, you know what?
I almost forgot. Come on.
People want to be a part of the show. You know how they can do that? Yeah. They can shoot us an email. podcast@pennsimmons.com. I might even come up with a little, you know, thing to go in front of your email. No promises.
A little jingle jangle.
A little jingle jangle here and there. And, yeah. Now, if people want to support the show, what's the number one way people can do that?
Well, you know, I'm fresh out of ideas, so I'm just going to steal. We're getting a lot of emails from people, and I've been watching it, and I think this is a pretty – I appreciate the support. So what all the cool kids are doing is they're making little, like, homemade placards, like signs, like a sandwich sign, you know, that you sort of put on your chest your back. And then what they're doing is they're driving, like, to their local grocery store, like the Giant or the Stouffer's at Kissel Hill, and then they bring with them, like, a little bell, right?
Yeah,
and on the sandwich board, it says, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah.
And then they walk around in circles ringing the bell. And, you know, it's I didn't ask anyone to do it, but I appreciate the support. There's, you know, I went to the store the other day to pick up a couple groceries here at the Giant in Ephrata. And, you know, I don't know. There was like 11 or 12 people walking around ringing the bell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what another great way is? What's that? When you write into the podcast – just, you don't want to CC, you want to click the other one, BCC, and then just add your entire address book. And then just everyone's clued into your feedback. And they'll be like, what is this email to the Penn Cinema podcast? What is this? That's genius.
See, David, that's why you're the smart one.
that right there. All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Ted Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cat.